There's something about reading a story that grips you. Maybe we like a love story. Maybe we like a puzzle, a mystery, murder mystery or whatever it might be. Maybe we want to read something that's going to make us feel good, and it's just a story, it's a book. But then when you get a real life story, it kind of grips you even more, doesn't it? Because it's actually true. Then I went to see a film at the cinema called One Life. And I just wept most of the way through it. The story of a man who rescued over 600 children from Czechoslovakia in the 1938-39. How he got them out of Czechoslovakia. How he negotiated with trains and finance and papers. It was a gripping story. It affected so many people. I want to read you this morning the greatest catastrophe story the world has ever known. Genesis chapter number 3. God has created the world. He has put people in the Garden of Eden, and they are innocent. They are free of guilt. And the Word of God says this: Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. Then the eyes of both of them, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. The greatest catastrophe this world has ever known. Beyond any virus, earthquake, physical thing that's happened on planet Earth. This one incident affected the whole of humanity for the whole of time. It is a total and utter catastrophe. But I want us to pick out, and in fact on the second Sunday of each month when I've been asked to speak, so there's your warning. We're going to look at some of the things that God says, I will. In this passage here, God says to the serpent, I will. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and his and hers. To the woman he says, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing, and you will be subject to your husband. I will. And to the man he says, I will curse the ground because of you. Without any argument at all, this must be the greatest catastrophe to hit the entire human race. See, God has created perfection. For 6 days he has created the world and the planets and the stars. He has established the order of nature and creation. He has put the sun and the moon and the stars in place. He has blessed the world with fruitful soil, and the world is a beautiful place to be. And there is one rule that mankind was asked to keep, and that was quite simple. Do not eat from the tree of knowledge in the middle of the garden. Don't touch it, don't look at it, don't want it, don't eat it. That was the one rule they had to keep. The tree of life was there as well. But did you notice how the serpent came in? The beautiful creature, the most deceptive, the most subtle creature came in, and he began to put into the heart and mind of Eve, did God really say? And the doubt is there. And then the serpent, did you notice how the serpent says, if you eat from that tree, you will become like God. The serpent was Satan, the enemy of God, cast out of heaven because he wanted to be like God, thrown down to earth, with some of his angels kept in chains for judgment by God, and some released to be the people, be the serpent and the demons rather, that were going to plague mankind. This is God's plan. This is God's will. This isn't chaos. This is God the just dealing with sin of mankind. And so the doubt is put in the mind of Eve. I'm fascinated by the way we make excuses for things. Did you eat from the fruit of the tree? Well, it was the serpent that told me to do it. And then he says to Adam, did you eat? Well, that one that you gave me, she gave me to eat, and so I did. You know, if you hadn't given me that woman, I'd have been okay. But he did. He took the fruit and he ate it. And so it affected the whole of humanity. Adam and Eve. Eve was given the name after this, just known as the woman. But then God steps in. And God says to the serpent, I will. I will. This is the holy God speaking. The God who perfectly created the universe in which they were living. And the God that said, don't eat from the fruit of the tree, because if you do, you will die. They were innocent. They were guiltless. They could communicate with God. They could have fellowship with God. And God would come down and speak to them in the cool of the day. And suddenly, they're not there when God comes down. And the question is asked to the man, where are you? Where was he? He was hiding with the woman in the trees, trying to hide from God, blending in with the surroundings, camouflaged by the leaves that they used to make the clothes, hoping God wouldn't see them. You see, suddenly the catastrophic thing has happened. There's a distance between God and creation. And they could no longer have communion with God and have fellowship with God. Friends, this is, without doubt, the greatest catastrophe that has ever hit mankind. An earthquake in the Middle East or the Far East doesn't particularly affect me. Global warming is going to impact all of us, but it doesn't particularly affect us, does it? In many ways, we're just part of the scene looking on as it affects parts of the world. I'm not saying it's not a disaster, it is. But here's the greatest catastrophe the world has ever known. But God says, I'm in control of this. He doesn't set the serpent, right, off you go and just cause havoc. He doesn't say, right, they've broken my rules, Satan, you can just go on and wreak havoc with them and do what you want and make them pay. That would be anarchy. Remember talking to the kids sometime in school and about having no rules in school. Oh, yeah, we want that, they said, fantastic. No rules in schools, whoa, brilliant. Right, let's just think it through, said I to them. If you've got no rules, that means somebody can take something. Oh, no, that's not right. No, hang a minute. There are no rules. Oh, and suddenly it dawns on them that there have to be rules in school, as in society, in the car, or wherever it might be. There have to be rules to keep it all together. Well, God doesn't say right from now on there's going to be anarchy. He doesn't say I'm giving up on you. He doesn't say right, Satan, do what you like, say what you like, go where you like. You do your work and it's just anything goes. He doesn't say that. God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman's seed. The word that's used there, I will, he will crush your head and strike your seed. It's the same word, crush and strike. It's the same word. God is looking forward to the day when the seed of the woman, who is Jesus, is going to deal with the serpent, who is Satan. And God hasn't thrown humanity to the wolves. God hasn't put humanity to one side and said, right, that's it, finished. He locks them out of the Garden of Eden so they can't eat the tree of life and live forever. There's got to be salvation in God's plan. And the wonder of it is that God is in control of the disobedient acts of mankind. I will put enmity between you and the woman's seed. I'm in control of this. And I will make childbearing a painful thing, but I'm in control of this. And I will curse the ground, but I'm in control of this. And friends, I'm glad that he is. I'm glad that God didn't toss all responsibility to one side and say, right, just do what you like, say what you like. There's a judgment day coming in Jesus. And God says to the serpent, the seed of the woman will bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. And we remember this morning in our communion service the fact that on the cross, Jesus dealt with Satan. All the forces of hell were arrayed against him through Pilate and the perverse religion of the Jewish nation at that time. And they were gunning for Jesus and they were out to get him. And they said, they cried, we have no king but Caesar, get rid of this man. And they tossed him and they rejected him. And on that cross, the saviour of the world's heel was bruised. He was prepared to go to the conflict of the cross, to fight the enemy of death and hell and Satan and overcome it and triumph over it. But it cost him. It cost him. Why would he do that? I would suggest there are two reasons. Firstly, love for his father. He wanted to do his father's will. And secondly, his love for us. Because he wants us to do his father's will as well. We look around the world and we see the consequences of sin everywhere that we look. Our prisons are at a bursting point. Diseases are rife. Social workers can't cope with the family breakups. People are at war over territory. Pride is taking over so much of the world's economy. There are wars that are started because one person has a deluded vision of grandeur for himself or herself. And sin is rife. But God says, I'm in control. I will. I will. We live in a sin-cursed earth. Sin-cursed world on a sin-cursed earth. But God's in control. And the ladies, bless you, childbearing's a pain because of the catastrophe of the Garden of Eden. And the work that we do, especially in the soil, is hard work because of the curse in the Garden of Eden. But through it all, there's a victory. Through it all, there's the Saviour. And the seed of the woman, bruised, battered, but victorious on the cross. You see, when God says, I will, he means it. When God told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the day you eat from the fruit of that tree, you will die, he meant it. And Satan still clouding the issues with false religions and false ideas and questioning what God says. And John mentioned this morning in the communion service at the end of it about a little boy who asked about John chapter 11. Remember that? Can you cast your mind back about an hour and a half? Is it true? This is true. And his answer was cool. God means what he says. God says what he means. And when he says, I will put enmity, that's what he has done. We are at war with the evil one. We're in a spiritual battle. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has stepped in. And on that cross, he bore our sins in his body. Bruised, but victorious. On that cross, he bore the sin of the world as the Lamb of God. Bruised, but victorious. And when we look at the newspapers and we read the newspapers or hear the news and we see the rampage of sin out on our planet, we'll be encouraged that God said, I will. I'm in control of this. I will deal with it. He dealt with it in Jesus on the cross. And one day, he's coming back.
Amen.
And he's coming back to take his people home. And he's coming back to rule and reign on planet Earth and the universe. is coming back to judge the living and the dead. Just thinking the other day, walking through our park home estate, praying for the people as I went past. To live without Christ is not good. To die without Christ, what a catastrophe. And that's the reality. So in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, he says to the serpent, to Satan, I will. I'm in control of this. God is almighty. Satan is mighty. But God's in control. And that's why Jesus Christ could go to the cross and lay down his life that we might live. Because God's the God that says, I will. Now, Christian, this morning we can take that and we can kind of bandy it about a bit and we can live in the benefit of it a little bit, or it can consume our whole being. That God's in control. That Jesus gave his life that we might live. That he won the victory on the cross. We've got to take that and make it our own. And those, dear friends, who are not Christians, they've got to want Christ more than anything else. Adam and Eve were deluded by the enemy. God didn't really mean it. Oh, friends, God really means it. And so the I will of God this morning is this. I will put enmity. I'm in charge of it. I will affect childbirth. I will affect the order of things. I will. I'm with me. And I stand before this morning to say this. I'm glad that God says I will. He didn't hand it over to Satan and say, off you go, fella. Or to mankind, do what you like. No. I will. God is in control. He will have the last word. And by faith in Christ, we are privileged to know the God that says, I will. And he will. And he does. Because he's God.